Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast. We are all three here, unbelievably. We've been gone for a few weeks. Our last one was
We've been gone for a month.
I know we have. Well, we were going to do last week, but then Dennis ended up getting some laryngitis that was pretty rough.
Kelly just now appreciated it.
I thought it was great. I didn't have any issue with it at all. Unfortunately, your fingers did not get laryngitis.
No, I can text all I want.
Or fingergitis.
So anyway, this week, like I said, this is episode 367, and tonight we're going to talk about Can Dolly Really Rock? But before we get into that, we've got our other things to get into. Acquisitions?
Album acquisitions?
Alan, holy moly.
A real, true, 100% piece of vinyl.
Wow.
You do. It's the John 5 Center album that just, I actually don't know when it came out, but this is the special vinyl, the special yellow vinyl edition. Wow. And it features featuring the song K Pasa with Dave Mustaine, as well as guest appearances by Peter Criss and Carla Harvey. I don't know who Carla Harvey is, but anyway, I got this as a Christmas gift. Brendan and I are going to see John 5 at the Bluebird, I believe it is, in Harrison, Ohio. It's the same place that we went and saw Nita Ford last year. Nita Strauss. Oh, man.
I'm sure you didn't run to see Nita Ford at Dover.
I said Nita Ford.
Right.
So, a completely different person.
Or Nita Strauss, whichever you want to look at.
So. Either way, we went and saw Nita Strauss a few years ago and did the VIP experience. And we're doing that again. I haven't even taken this out of the plastic. And I'm not actually going to take it out of the plastic until I'm in John 5's presence.
So, Alan, is that a recent release?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It came out sometime. The copyright on this is 2022.
I thought it was this fall. Apparently not.
I thought it was this fall.
I didn't know that Peter had done it.
Well, he was probably working on the Motley Crue record.
Could be.
This fall. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Might be the confusion.
Bill, so, you have any?
And that was the entirety of the Christmas gifts I received this year.
Well, that's good.
Really?
Well, in our family, we don't exchange gifts because, you know, we don't have kids at home anymore. So we don't have kids to pay for sports and entertainment and doctor bills and all of that stuff. So we pretty much just spend our money on whatever we want.
That's what we do too. But a little gift every now and then is not bad.
I got an Illustrated Bible.
I didn't get a gift.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking. So I will show you something though. I'll be right back.
Oh, please don't stand up. He's got pants on.
Thank God.
So what have you got, Dennis? Thing.
I got an Illustrated Bible for people who think I'm a heathen. My wife got me a really nice Illustrated Bible, so it's cool. Yeah. But here's what I got. I got real quick. I just got one. I don't have any NXS albums.
Oh,
so I don't change. Don't Change is one of my favorite songs by them. So I looked at what the original one cost. It's like $150. So I went on Amazon and got the 40th anniversary of the 1982 classic album in clear vinyl. So it's kind of cool. But anyway, so I got that and I played it the other day. So F. Kelly goes, "Well, that's not my favorite NXS song." So we ordered on Amazon the Kick album. So it's coming.
As I say, I'm surprised you didn't get the Kick album.
Well, I mean, I like Don't Change. That's my favorite song by them. And their greatest hits does not have it. So
that's before they really hit it big in the United States, isn't it?
Well, the first MTV video I saw them is that Don't Change, where they're kind of playing in a warehouse and they get on the back of a truck and they're going along and they kind of, and that's what got me into them. And of course, the real things on that also. And that's the other video, second video that came out with. But anyway,
cool.
It's got some cool stuff on it. All right, Bill, what'd you get?
So I got, and I don't know if you'll be able to see it on here, but I'm going to show it to you anyway. So Max took some of the pictures that we took at the last Kiss show.
Right.
And put them in a frame.
How cool.
So the cool part is there's a picture, the middle picture that you can probably barely see, is all five of us together at the show, which I thought was very cool. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And it says, Kiss, we love Indianapolis. So that for me was very, very cool gig.
That is super cool.
Yeah. Music related theme. And then I got a cup. Lisa got me that's got, it's wrapped kind of thing. And it's got cassettes from like the 80s is what's the cover of the cup.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm like, had that one. Interesting. had. I don't have any.
I didn't have a couple
cassettes, not many.
I didn't have many cassettes. I think I had Creatures. That might have been the only cassette that I had. I had albums, and then, of course, I had on 8-track, I had the original Kiss and something else on 8-track. I don't remember. But anyway, everything else was
I had an original Creatures on cassette and someone stole it.
I probably still have those 80s. Somewhere because I can't imagine that I gave those up. They're probably in a box.
Right.
I threw all of my cassettes away because they had been in a box in the garage and it got hot and it got cold and it got hot and it got cold. And after about the 15th year of it get hot and cold, I thought, damn, things ain't no good. Just toss them. I didn't even try to listen to them.
It was hard for me to do, but I did the same thing.
It was.
I actually threw them in the trash. And then I got them back out of the trash. And then later I was like, oh, Dennis, you're never going to listen to these things again. Get rid of them. So I still have
all my CDs over there.
Oh, your CDs I still have.
Yeah, I've got a shit ton of those.
So real quick, I got something to mention too. For everybody who thought that Kiss, once their final concert happened, we were all going to just big hug and a kumbaya. Boy, were you fucking wrong. I'm telling you what. I've never seen such an upheaval in a civil war within the camps of the Kiss Army that I've ever seen in my life after that last show. I mean, it's been a fuck fest. I mean, absolute.
Who did you think was going to be hugging and kumbayan?
Well, you would thought, afterwards it's like, it was great. Everybody, let's all this kind of listen to the music and all this stuff. And now everybody's like, fuck the Avatars, or we love the Avatars and this shit and that shit. It's just like,
I will go on record and say that I don't think it would have mattered what they did. No. You were going to have the same shit fest. It would have just had different words.
Probably. Yep. You're right.
I agree.
Kiss
fans, they could have said we're going to take a year off and come back and do solo shows, and that would piss people off. It didn't matter.
I did see something really cool today, though. I saw where – do you see that post by Keith LaRue?
I have not seen anything.
They are going to, there's a, some other person is bringing it up or getting it started, but they're going to maybe do the Kiss convention back up in Indy, like the great big one they used to do. Now that it's over with, bring that kind of back, maybe do an Indy and then do a Vegas. And everybody's like, oh yeah, we want to. So I would love to, cause I didn't get to see him in the heyday, the great big Kiss conventions.
Well,
so
that'd be I'm going cool. to go on record now and say if there's an Evansville Kiss Expo,
you're not doing it.
Alan is not the one that put it on. Don't call Alan unless you've got tickets for Alan to come and just hang out.
But it would be kind of cool to see. I mean, the last one.
Yeah, I didn't get to go to that. Didn't you? Didn't you go to Nashville?
The Kiss
to Nashville to the Kiss Convention. Yeah. And I know Dennis did because I was supposed to go.
No, I'm talking about, but that was a Kiss, actual Kiss one. Yeah.
Right.
No, they're talking about bringing the old Kiss Expo, Kiss Expo.
Oh, yeah, I've been to 3 or 4 of those.
But I'm saying the bigger ones like they used to do back in the 80s. They're the ones we went to here recently. That last one you and I went to Upper Bill, it was pretty, hell, half the place wouldn't even fill, remember?
I don't know anything about ones before that. I mean, the ones I've been to have been similar to that.
Right. So the ones that are earlier were
the ones that they were doing in the 90s were huge. The early 90s.
Big time.
They did the New Jersey and the New York Kiss Expo.
Right.
That was always a big deal. I think they did one in Detroit that was always a pretty big deal.
Sure. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Those are more Kiss fund, more Kiss
centric
driven ones, I guess.
Right, right. Because that was where that, remember that one where Gene and him showed up and they were grabbing the bootleg shit and
that
everything?
Was in
that, was one of those, that was one of those big ones.
That was in Detroit. Yeah.
That was
so anyway, Detroit. They're trying to bring that back now since we don't have a, you know, we don't have Kiss on tour, which would be kind of cool. I hope so. You know, hope that comes out. But so we can all get together and fight about pissed about the avatars.
Don't they should have this like some kind of wrestling thing?
You know what? I think the avatar is going to go the way of the Kiss world. That's just my opinion. But anyway, we'll see.
It'll be what it is.
2027. They got till 27 now to figure this shit out. So we'll see.
For years from now, if they don't do something, they'll just be irrelevant. Exactly. Everybody will give up. So,
all right.
It's okay.
Anybody else got anything to bring up since we haven't been together for a while?
Boy, I don't know. Probably. I don't know.
Tom Smothers passed away today.
Oh, really? He did?
Yeah, from the Smothers Brothers.
Smothers Brothers. So
it was either today or yesterday. I just saw the post today.
So is he the last one or is he the first one to go?
He was the one that said, Mom always liked you best.
Right, but I'm saying...
The other one is still alive.
Oh, the other one's still alive. That's why I didn't know.
Yeah. They were just on CBS Sunday morning not too
Tommy
long ago.
And so which one do you say passed away?
Tom.
Tom. What's the other one's name?
Not Tom. I don't know.
The Smothers Brothers. They're funny.
They were funny. Yeah.
Not the one that played the stand-up bass.
Correct.
There you go.
Yeah.
The blonde hair.
Tommy.
The blonde hair.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. That's good to hear.
How we doing?
They've been around for a long time, though.
Mm-hmm.
He had to be in his 90s, wouldn't it?
He was around long enough that he got in trouble for saying something snarky about the war during Vietnam.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I guess their show ended up getting canceled over that.
Yeah. I actually remember that show.
Probably.
That was late 60s, early 70s.
It probably didn't help them any. That's for sure. Yeah.
All right. You ready to get started on this little thing we've been
we have a time limit on this show because it could go 3 hours.
Let's get
we're gonna go through it really quick. I'm gonna mention the song. We're all going to give our opinion on it, and then we're just going to go on. I think that's the best way to do this.
Well, my opinions are all one-liners.
That's fine. I mean,
I took notes.
I took some notes.
I was going to take notes, and then I listened to it enough that I didn't have to. I got it all in my brain. This right up here, this noggin.
I took some notes. I made some comments. Noggin.
All right. So Dolly Parton, of course, you know, she went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And did not look stupid. She basically said, you know what? I'm going to put out a rock album. So she took about a year or so, called up some of her friends or people that she didn't know, but made friends with them and put out an album. This album has a shit ton of songs on it. It's 30 songs. It's 2 hours and 21 minutes long. So she didn't fuck around. She just, Dolly said, you know, she did a lot of money.
So she did 4 Van Halen records in one.
Yeah, one sitting.
One sitting.
But and you know, here I'm representing Van
Halen. Look at that.
People that can't see it, I'm wearing my Van Halen remake shirt of
you. Apparently, Dennis didn't get the memo to wear a reddish colored shirt.
Yeah, I didn't. What the hell? What the hell is it?
Yeah,
you guys are still Christmassy.
This is my I'm too lazy to wear anything nice to work shirt. It's a thermal shirt.
Everything I had on earlier had grease on it because I did 2 brake jobs today. So
anyway, back to Dolly.
All right. So anyway, let's just get through this. I mean, there's a lot of we got a bunch of songs to talk about. So anyway, it starts out with the song Rockstar. And I'm just going to go around the circle here. Alan.
Are you going to talk about the song? Like it's an original. It was
okay. I can do that.
I mean,
so Rockstar
give
is
some context.
The Rockstar is an original song that was written. I don't know if she wrote it or it was written for her. It is the first song on the album, and that's it. It's just Dolly Parton herself. Alan,
for me, the song is okay, but it's nothing that I would put on repeat.
Gotcha, Mr. Bill.
I gave it a. So I scored these 1 to 5.
Okay, well, good for you.
That's what I decided to score them 1 to 5. I don't know why I picked a 5 because there was no reason. but I scored them 1 to 5.
Could have been 1 to 16. You know, you
could have been 1 to 2.
Okay.
Okay. After it got all done, but I started with the 1 to 5.
Gotcha. Right.
So I gave it, I scored it a 2. I said the beginning is annoying as hell. But the song's not terrible.
Okay.
But the beginning just annoyed me.
Gotcha. Okay. So here's my thing. I think the song is not, I agree with Bill completely. And here's my one problem with Dolly. You're going to be surprised about this album because I actually, on a whole, it's not bad. The one thing I don't like what Dolly Parton does on this album on a few songs is the fact of that talking bullshit at the beginning. She makes like a little story out of it. Now that's Dolly. That's her persona. That's what she does. I get it. You know, there's a couple of other things that she does, like that whispering bullshit and some other things, but that's just Dolly. You can take the girl out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the girl kind of situation. So I understand that. But Rockstar to me sounds like a Broadway. It's like a Broadway song, something that should be if there was a Rockstar Broadway show, this would be the opener to it. Did you get that vibe from it?
Yeah. She's a Broadway storyteller. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's kind of Broadway kind of song. It's not a rock song. So, you know, but it's not, is it a bad song? No, but it's just, I just don't like the way it's put together. But anyway, that's just me. All right. Next song is World on Fire. It's also a Dolly song. It is I don't know if she wrote it or written for her, but this is another Dolly song. Mr. Allen.
I like the drum beat.
Kind of sounds like something you already know, right?
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Bill.
Wasn't this a remake? Isn't that a remake as well?
Don't think so. It's written.
Don't think so.
It's, okay. Dolly Parton has a writing credit. It's a writing credit. I think it's got some other parts of songs that she's introduced into the song.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I gave it a 2. Don't care for the end. She just sounds old.
Okay. Gotcha.
I mean, I know she's old, but
right.
You don't have to like
sound old.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you don't have to sound, but you don't have like, what's the right word? You don't have to bring attention to it. She could have done this song at the end of the song. Instead, she kept this on, kept going on with this thing. And I'm like, stop. This makes you sound older.
Maybe. I thought if she's looking for an anthem type song, she hit it.
What did you say?
Horrible.
You cut out
like an anthem type song, like a big rock anthem. She kind of, this kind of hits that, I think. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like, you know, what's going on in the world today. It's kind of song. Is it horrible? No. Is it good? Not really. Does it go on my playlist? No. But it wasn't hard to listen to. All right. Now we're going to get into the good stuff. This is where she starts doing some work with other people, redoing some songs. And the next one is Every Breath You Take, and it's Dolly Parton and Sting. Let's go Bill this time.
I give that a 4. I like that. I actually like that version. I thought they did a good job. I thought it sounded really good. Not a bad song for me, actually.
Okay. Mr. Allen.
I thought overall the song was good, and I really liked the way Sting sung his parts in it. The only thing that I really didn't like about the song was the ending took way too long. Because how many times can you say every breath you take? You know? That
I did.
Hang
count,
on, we're going to get to that one. I got a comment about that too in a little bit.
To me, you know, that ending was about 45 seconds too long.
Okay, I agree. Kind of like with we'll bring that up in a minute. I thought
we'll
it was
get there.
I love the way she makes her take on these songs. They do change on a lot of these ones that they do with the other people. The key has been changed. I noticed that a lot. They do change
actually,
up the layout of the song. She's rearranged a lot of these songs. I think She did, well, whoever, I don't know if she was involved with it or she had a music director that was doing this. Whoever was doing this did a really good job on it. And I'll say this right now, starting out, Dolly, not only is she a really good singer for her age, and, you know, Bill says she shows her age, but she does have a good voice. She is a fantastic fucking singer with other people. She fits, she gets in that, wherever she could, you know, they fit together. She fits together as a duo with people better than probably anybody. And that's one thing that shines on this album. Now, some of them not, but I mean, but this is one that is really, really good. And that's, this is one of the first ones out of the gate that I caught. I was like, I like this a lot. Sting does a very good job also just letting her do her thing and just being there kind of under the, bottom of it. But it's an this here of the songs that she does with people is the start of a really good thing. So that's my take on it. All right. Next, we come with another one, Open Arms, along with Steve Perry. Let's go Bill again, and then we'll switch it up.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Let's see.
I know the number is going to be low.
Well, it's a single digit.
It's a single. Okay.
I gave it a 2.
Okay.
It was a 1. 1-2.
Right.
2-1-2. I just couldn't do it. And actually, by the end of the song, I was like just ticked off at just to me, it was just kind of a mess. And for the last two songs, because she did it with Every Breath You Take too, there's this a cappella thing that she does singing like the last verse,
right,
at the end of the song, and it sounds horrible. It just doesn't sound very good.
I have to re-listen to that.
So you go back and listen to it. Those first two songs, or those two songs, she does the line like the ending, and I'm like, okay, is this going to be the whole album? It's going to be like that. So yeah. Then I thought, I was listening to it in the living room, and Lisa was in there cooking or something like that, not really paying attention. So when her favorite Journey song is Open Arms. And so I started that, and sure, she's like, oh my God. she was pretty wound up. And I said, oh, wait, it'll get better. And then Steve Perry comes in and she goes, oh my God. And I go, yep. There you go. It didn't get better.
Mm. Okay.
There you go.
Mr. Allen.
You know, my opinion isn't what Bill's is. I didn't mind the song. You know, you could tell that the key of the song had been changed. And I'm sure it was more for the sake so that Steve could sing it less than it was so that Dolly could sing it. You know, overall, the song was okay. The very last line of the song, and I can't remember exactly what they said, something about this house being empty or whatever that line was. I listened to it a couple of times, and both times that line kind of got me, you know, and just kind of struck that make you sad, emotional, you know, I don't want to say country because that really wasn't a country line, but coming from a country singer, that's what it made me feel.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
So I'm going to be more on the side of Alan on this one too, because I actually like this song a lot. I think that it's structured different, you know, that where he's singing some of these lines out of context, you know, underneath what she's singing. They made it a different song. Now, I knew going in that Steve Perry's voice is just, you know, his high is shot. You know, I've heard a solo album and he struggles even, but they made it work with that lower register. I mean, with Dolly singing on top of it, hitting those high notes and him singing those low notes, I mean, it's not my favorite song on the album, but I really, really enjoy listening to it. I think it's it was one of the ones that I was looking forward to, and it my expectations were a lot lower knowing what Steve's voice was, and I did like it a lot. And it's one of those ones that I can repeat. I like it a lot. So I give, on Bill's scale, I give it a 4, maybe a 3.8 to a 4. How's that?
Okay.
Okay. Now we're going to one that was, this is one that was actually along with Rockstar, actually in World on Fire. Magic Man was also, was actually let out early. So we've heard this song actually for a while. This might've been one of the first ones, wasn't it? Magic Man? I don't remember.
The first time that I heard it was when I listened to the album.
Okay. Well, it was released early on Spotify and I had heard it earlier. Anyway, this is one with she did with Ann Wilson, and they call it the Carl version because she puts her, they put almost another verse in there about her and Carl. And Bill, what was your take on that? I was going to do actually, I was going to do Alan.
I'm not
first,
a bad song. Okay, well then fine.
I'll do Alan first next time. Bill,
ew.
I can't keep track. What? Bill, you go.
Alan, hold your hand up. That's Alan, that guy up there.
I know. I was going to do two and two, and then I got Bill again. Bill, go ahead. Since you already started, go ahead, and we'll give Alan an extra.
Okay. I gave it a 3. I thought it was pretty good, middle of the road. Better, definitely better than Open Arms for me. A lot better.
Okay.
But I think there's some other ones that are a little bit better than that one, so I gave it a 3.
Gotcha.
Not bad. It's fine. Good song. Not bad.
Gotcha. Alan.
Well, I never knew Dolly's husband's name was Carl until today.
Really?
The first time I listened to this. Because at first it said Magic Man, Carl version. I'm like, who the hell is Carl? But having said
he's
that,
he's the guy doing this.
now that I have figured out that they're talking about Dolly's real life husband, Ann Wilson can sing the phone book and I would be happy to listen to it. Yes, you know,
she's good.
In my opinion, this song would not be as near as good as it is on this album without Ann singing back up.
100% agree.
Right.
So that's who the hell Carl is.
Yes, Carl. Carl's he's a tuner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're watching the video, you understand what I'm saying. Anyway, I like this song a lot. I thought this was the music on this stuff here. Whoever's playing the music, I don't know who they got studio wise doing this stuff, but it's dead on. All this stuff is. Ann sounds good. Dolly sounds good, and I like that. I like the way they changed it up with that new with the new verse. The one thing, other than the thing that bugs me about Dolly, and I mentioned it earlier, other than the fact that she talks through some of these songs, is that whispering shit. You know,
yeah,
Magic Man. You know that shit there. It's her country coming out. You know, it's you just can't take it away from her. But that stuff kind of, I know. I mean, her voices can be phenomenal. You don't have to do that whispering bullshit, and she does that throughout this whole album. And when she does, I have to kind of cringe a little bit and then I get past it because the rest of the song is decent. But yeah, Dolly, if you want to rock, quit that whispering shit. It's just, it's annoying.
It's not rocking.
Yeah, it's not rock. No, it's not rock. You got to have a twang to it. Anyway. All right. Long As I Can See the Light. Now, this is another pair up with John Fogerty.
The very beginning of the song, you know, I was not digging it at all. But once they got into the singing and the harmonizing and everything, it turned out to be a pretty decent song.
But Mr. Bill,
give it a deuce.
He dropped a deuce on it.
Alan, once again, we're in complete agreement. I was like, I'm not a big Fogerty fan. I mean, I like some of the older, you know, a couple of the things he's done, but his voice kind of gets, it's kind of like one of those chalkboard voices in a little bit. I can't take a whole record of him. But I'm like you, when this song started out, I was like, I don't know. And then when they kick in, they sound good together. So is it my favorite song on the album? No, but it's a 3 for me. It's kind of a medium if we're going to do a 5, but I think it is. All right.
How many times, we're going to ask a question. How many times did you guys listen to this record?
I listened to it quite a bit. I listened to pieces and parts of it a lot. The stuff that I like, I listened to it a lot. Full through probably 5 times.
Okay, that's about what I did. Because I had it on at work and different things. And
we drove to Nashville. Really to which is a 2-hour drive. So we listened to it down and we listened to it back. And then Kelly was kind of giving me kind of her.
Punished Kelly too.
Well, no, she kind of had the same thing that I did. I mean, we kind of agreed on everything as far as what we liked and what we didn't like. And then I listened to what, you know, she had to say on some things, and maybe she maybe changed my mind. I might have changed her mind on a few things, but you know, the car is the best place to listen to this shit because you don't have anything else to do but listen to music and drive. You know, it's just kind of one of those. That's why I like doing that.
Well, see, now, the first time I listened to it partially in the car, partially at the gym, you know, because there's 30 songs and it takes a while to get through.
It does take a long time.
But the first time I listened to it, I just wanted to listen to it and not really listen to it critically, just kind of listen to it passively.
Sure.
So the second time I listened to it again today, and I sat down and took notes while I was listening to it. And even though all of my notes are one-liners, I did make it a point to, I'm just paying attention to the songs and I'm not letting myself be too distracted by outside forces.
Right.
But typically when we do these review shows, I give them 2 or 3 listens at most.
Right.
Yeah. That's the same. No, I'm just curious.
We've had some extra time on this one. So I went through, and it's been a couple of weeks since I actually listened to it, because I've had other things I've been listening to, but I did listen to it pretty hard at first when we were going to, cause I thought we were going to try to do it real quick. And then, like I said, between the holidays and losing my voice and everything else, we had a little extra time. All right. So we're going to go next with another matchup with Kid Rock, of all things, Either Or. Alan.
-25.
Really?
I'm not.
All right.
It's not a bad song. I'm just not a big Kid Rock fan. You know, it shouldn't have reminded me, but it reminded me of his duet with Sheryl Crow.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got you.
The Sun or whatever it is. I don't know what it's called. I don't remember. I know what you're talking about, though.
Your picture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I should have known that because I played that song about a fucking million times in Fifth Degree Burns.
I heard it a million and one.
I hate that song. Bill.
I actually gave it a 4. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. Actually, when I got there, I was like, oh, thank you. They're actually going to do some good stuff. So I liked that song. And Bill, I actually thought their voices really sounded pretty good together.
Okay. So this time I'm going with Bill. as my buddy up, because I agree with you. I think this is it's a really fun song. It is. I'm not a Kid Rock song or Kid Rock fan whatsoever. I mean, I can stomach some of his shit, but not all of it. I think they worked really good together, though. I thought it was a fun song.
Mm-hmm.
Dolly wasn't. I think Kid Rock, he's got that draw and kind of drawled some of the country out of her and made her rock a little more. I don't know. I'm going to be wrong on that. But I enjoyed that song. It was one of the ones that I was going to be a throwaway, and I went into it with no expectations and actually liked it a lot. So that was my take on it. All righty. I Want You Back. This is with Steven Tyler. Mr. Allen.
I like the bluesy groove, and that's all I got to say about that.
Gotcha. The bluesy groove.
The bluesy groove.
All right, Mr. Bill.
I gave it a 4 as well, actually. I thought it was pretty good. I thought they matched up pretty well, and I like the song overall.
This is probably my favorite song on the album. Kelly and I, I can remember the exact, we were crossing about the Tennessee-Kentucky line. Actually, no, I take that back. We stopped at the winery.
Oh, I Want You Back.
I want you. What did I say? Did I say it wrong?
You didn't say it wrong.
I'm just being a smart ass, Dennis.
So anyway, we stopped at the winery. So but right before we got to the exit, we're driving up the road and this song came on. And Kelly and I both looked at each other and goes, God damn, that's a good song. Tyler sounds really good on that. And I like the way that it's kind of switched around where Dolly wants him back. You know, it was an interesting take on things, because Dolly is always trying to be this, you know, she's like this pure person, and she's the one that cheated on Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you know, I will say that I think Tyler is a great bluesy singer.
Oh my God.
And a lot of that early Aerosmith is really bluesy.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so when I say I like the bluesy group, I just overall, I didn't care for the song, but that's not taken away from any, either of their singing abilities. Cause I mean, we know they're way bigger stars than we are.
Right.
Yep.
No, I just think it all as a mesh with a person in a song. And this is not an Aerosmith, you know, this is not an Aerosmith song. This is something that was written for them. I think it's really good. It's like I say, it's one of my favorite songs on the album. All right. What has rock and roll ever done for you, Dolly Parton and Stevie Nicks?
It cost me a lot of money.
That is true.
All right. Alan, since you already talked, you want to go ahead and begin this one?
Well, you have already brought it up once, but this is the first time I was really going to bring it up, is the talking in the beginning is unnecessary.
It's very unnecessary.
Other than that, I think it's a great song. It sounds to me by Stevie's vocals that they've probably changed the key of this song as well. But I really never heard the original, so I don't know. I may be wrong.
Is this an original song, or is this a remake, or is it?
It said at the very beginning, Stevie, won't you start this song? It's your song. And she said, well, it's your record. So
I assume
that it's probably on Belladonna or one of her early solo albums.
I didn't catch that. So, Bill, what do you think?
Yeah, I gave it a 2 because it was like, can I stop with the talking?
I agree.
Stop.
Quit it.
One other thing. Stop.
Stop. And it's not like, don't stop. It's like, stop.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to agree with both of you, but I'm going to go a thing farther. I'm going to give it a 0. Because I had a lot of...
I got some other zeros.
I had a lot of hopeful for this because, you know, Stevie Nicks, let's hear this bang up. Stevie sounds like shit on this fucking song. I mean, she does. She's horrible. You can't, at times you can't tell who's who. And it's like going, if that's weird because, I mean, Dolly has her thing and then Stevie has her thing. And there's times I'm like going, which one is singing? I don't even know.
There were a couple of other songs that were the same way.
Right. And this here, I really had high hopes for it. And it just, and that, like you said, that fucking, as soon as they start talking at the beginning, I'm like going, I just fucking shut down. You know, if I'm listening to this fucking record from now on, I hear her talk, I'm fucking hitting the button. I don't give a shit what's behind it. I'm just going to the next track because I just don't like it. But yeah, I had really high hopes for this. And yeah, Stevie, she didn't provide. So
yeah,
suck. All right. Next one, Purple Rain, Dolly by herself. Who wants to go first?
Bill.
I gave it a 3. I didn't think it was terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was great. It was just, it was not bad. Yeah, it was all right. I gave it a 3.
Gotcha. Alan.
For me,
I'm glad it wasn't a duet. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
What did you say, Bill?
I said, I'm glad it wasn't a duet. Like they didn't do something to like make that be a duet.
There you go.
His voice is real muffled right now, though. I went there.
So. Anyway, I saw what you did there, Dennis. It just clicked. You're going to hell. Anyway, I did not care for this song at first, like the other one. The beginning just didn't feel right. But once the singing and all of that started kicking in, I think she did a great job on it.
Dolly is one of those people, I think, like you said, that can sing the phone book. I mean, she's got a great voice. I mean, she's always had a great voice, and to be her age and still be able to sing like she does a good job.
Wait a minute.
What?
We're talking about the great voice Dolly has.
Right.
We've spent the last 30 minutes crapping all over this record, so I'm not sure.
No, I'm crapping because of her choices. Some of her choices weren't good. And then did she talk through this fucking song? No, she actually sang. and she sings very, and actually this song is good for her voice. It fits her voice. I think she did a good job. She didn't whisper. She didn't fucking do any of that shit. She stayed on key.
She didn't talk through it.
But no, I think it was a good song for her. It's a good song choice, and I did like it. All right. Baby, I Love Your Way with Peter Frampton. What do you think about that one? Bill, go with you three. First. Three?
Okay. Yeah, the only thing that made it be a three was Peter Frampton.
Oh, I love Peter. What are you talking about?
And that's what the only thing that's that made it said. Be a three was Peter Frampton.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
And he didn't sound very good, actually.
Yeah, he's got struggles. Anyway.
He does.
Yeah. Alan?
For the most part, it was pretty faithful to the original, so it's all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, I love the song. I love Peter Frampton, and I think Dolly and him sing very well together. I think, once again, she's very good at doing duets with people, and I think the song works. It's to me, it's a four. I just like that song, and I think it works good. It's just my opinion.
Do you guys think, did they do any of this stuff together? I mean, any of these songs, were any of these worked on together?
I did see some videos of them. I seen some pictures of her with, I know with Deborah Harry. I know with Pat Benatar. Who was the other one I saw her doing actual work in the studio?
Some of them, at least, that were not like some just... send some stuff that, across the internet kind of thing.
You know,
that's what I'm wondering. I'm just wondering
if you had an opportunity though to do a duet album with Dolly Parton and you were a star, wouldn't you think you would?
No, try to I make think it they should. No, I think it would, I hope they did. I just didn't know. I have not done any research to figure that out.
That
would be cool to see those things. That would be cool. That you know, it's supposed to be a movie or some kind of thing, but that'd be cool to see that part.
I'm surprised that Dave Grohl didn't get involved in this with his, you know, his film company, because you know him and Dolly, he's interviewed her before in the what's that?
Sound City.
No, it wasn't Sound City. That was the ones he did with the Highways or something, whatever it was.
Anyway,
Sonic Highways. Anyway,
we got to roll.
All right. So anyway, I Hate Myself for Loving You, Dolly Parton and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
She should sing I Hate Myself for Talking in the beginning of this song.
I agree 100%. I don't like that song in the first place, but
he's number one.
I overall was disappointed with this song,
right?
You know, and the talking at the beginning of it just really,
I know, it just fucked me up too.
Sorry, Dolly. Sorry, Joan.
Hey, you know what? I could use this. This is something I got for Christmas. We use it for that song.
Can't hear it.
You can't hear that.
Can I hear it? Nope. Moving along, working, dude. Moving along. Can't hear it.
It's a fart.
You can keep.
Machine.
You can keep pushing it.
You can't hear a fart machine.
No.
Really?
Stop. Let's just
do it again. Do it one more time, since we haven't been able to hear it the last six times. See if it's any better.
That's weird that it won't pick it up. Anyway,
Bill, did you give your thoughts?
I did.
Okay.
It was number one.
We can all agree that it sucked. It was sucky. Horrible. Yeah, I don't like that song anyway. Okay, Night Moves with Chris Stapleton. I had high hopes for that song.
Well, oh, you said I would say I probably enjoyed this song more than you did. Because when you say I had high hopes, you kind of showed your poker hand there. I didn't think Chris did a bad job. Of course, I, being in a country band, I know what his musical style is, so how he sang it is exactly how I would have expected him to sing it. The highlight of this song for me was near the end when she started singing about skinny dipping in the cement pond. You know, the little Beverly Hillbillies reference in there just totally cracked me up.
Yeah, Bill? I gave it a three. I thought it was pretty. I thought it was pretty good. I thought Chris Stapleton did a good job. I like Chris Stapleton.
The thing is, I agree with you both. The thing is, I had high hopes for it. Chris Stapleton did a great job. I don't think Dolly did. I don't think she fit. She didn't fit on this song. Her country came out of her too much, I think. I don't know. Something didn't work with me. I was really hoping this song was going to be good, and But no, I like Chris Stapleton. There's nothing wrong with him. I just think that together it didn't work in my world. So, all right. So next we have Dolly singing with her goddaughter, Miley Cyrus, doing Wrecking Ball. Bill's shaking his head already. You want to go first, Bill? He's got a zero.
He's not even going to speak.
He's not even going to talk.
He's shaking his head.
He's having a voice strike.
There are no words to describe the shit that was on that track of that record.
All right.
I thought this song was just okay. There wasn't anything. Well, the one thing that I thought was kind of neat about it was at the end they threw the line "I will always love you" in from Dolly's song.
Right.
You know, that was. Sadly enough, that was the highlight of the song for me personally.
For me, it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great either. I never really actually listened to that song before. Miley has a good voice. She just has really shitty material. I mean, unfortunately, when she does, I've seen her do some other things where she sings some rock songs and stuff. She's got a really good voice. It's just what she picks, and I just don't like her persona. I don't like the, you know, how whorey she is and all this bullshit. I just don't get it. You know, it's just,
you know, she picks the genres that she picks is because that's what gets her paid.
Well, of course it does. You know? Of course it does.
And they pay a lot.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, no, to me, it was a one. I'll give it at least a one, Bill. I won't go zero.
No, it could have been the first song or the last song.
There you go. Should have been the last song. All right.
Been a great opener ender.
so far, Bill can't get no satisfaction.
Nope.
And that's what this next song is. I can't get no satisfaction with Pink, and it's Brandi Carlile.
Yeah.
Oh, Brandi. I thought it was Belinda Carlile. I just now noticed.
Brandi Carlile. She's a country artist.
Because I'm like going the whole time going, it doesn't sound like Belinda Carlile. Isn't that crazy? No, I'm just my no, dyslexia. It's not.
That's why.
Hey, it's kind of crazy how that works. For that.
I've only listened to this song twice. I don't know. I'll go on record right now saying I don't like this song at all. Period.
So it was okay. Nothing to write home about, but
not a fan. Yeah. Not a fan.
Skipper.
Yeah, it's a skipper. Okay.
I did think the three of them blended their vocals together well when they sang the choruses together.
Right.
Yeah. Auto-tune does that. It's kind of cool.
All right, one I was really looking forward to, Keep on Loving You with Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon. Bill, you're already laughing, you want to start out with this one since you're
freaking
laughing.
Horrible. it is like it might be the worst song on the record. I honestly made a note. I can't tell who sounds worse.
Wow.
It was horrible. And Kevin Cronin should stop.
Well, he's getting to that point.
Yeah, he just needs us. You know, I'd say that about anybody else too. I love REO Speedwagon. I got a shit ton of those records right over there and CDs, but he needs to stop. It sounds really, really bad.
And he's going to keep going until they.
Well, he's going to keep on loving you until as long as you let him. So there you go. Except for love is over.
Be like somebody Paul, you tell keep him. Going no yep. matter if he can't sing or not, he's gonna show
oh, Paul up. Sounds 100 times better than he does even in Paul's bad now. So okay, yeah, that was bad. Right. That was bad. Sorry.
All right,
Alan, shitting on the middle of the record.
Well, musically they kept it pretty faithful to the original, so
they did.
I'll give them that
credit for that.
Positive. That's the one positive, right? No, I had really high hopes for that song because I had seen something on Kevin Cronin post some a lot of stuff on Facebook, and he had talked about doing this with Dolly and talking about how they were setting it up to where it was different, you know, all this stuff. So I had real high hopes on it too. It's not fucking horrible, but it's not great either. And I know Kevin Cronin's voice is shit. I mean, it's just like Steve Perry. His voice is shit. It's not like it used to be. I was just going to look at what they were going to do on the take of it, and it is what it is. I mean, is it good? No, it's not that good, but it's not a zero, but it's down there. Speaking of zero, we're going to go with Heart of Glass with Deborah Harry. She's doing a little punk disco. What do you think about that, Alan?
This was probably, when it comes to the duets, this one was probably my favorite.
Really?
You know, I liked the song. I liked the song when it originally came out.
Sure.
The only thing that I didn't like was Dolly censored herself and she didn't say the line, pain in the ass, you know. It's in the original at some point. Deborah Harry calls somebody a pain in the ass or
right.
I wonder why she did that, though, because I've heard her on TV before say some things a lot worse than ass.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder why she didn't have they didn't switch it up and have Deborah Harry sing that line.
There were some, I think there was a couple of lines in there Deborah Harry did sing, but anyway.
I'm saying, though, I would have had her just sing, though, instead of censoring it, just have her, you know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Bill?
Anyway, Bill?
Not a fan. This was so tough. It's so tough. Okay, next.
Okay, so for my take on was it didn't sound anything different than the original, to be honest. And to be honest, I couldn't. There were some times I couldn't distinguish who was singing. You know, was it Dolly or was it Deborah Harry? It was kind of their voices are very close together. The song was really kind of the same. They didn't really change it up. They didn't do anything to it. It was just like listening to Heart of Glass again for the, you know, the millionth time that I've heard Heart of Glass. Great song, but I've heard it. Nothing different. Nothing, you know.
There was nothing spectacular about it.
Right.
It
like but the thing was, she didn't whisper and she didn't fucking talk. So that gives it, that gives me 2 points. She gets two for at least that. So she didn't get that. But no, it wasn't nothing spectacular. All right. Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me with Elton John. Who wants to go first?
That was my least favorite of the duets.
Really? Interesting. Okay.
Don't let the duet repeat itself ever again.
Don't let the duet take on that. You didn't like it either, Bill?
No.
Yeah, I had
it took
really
me a while to even realize it was Elton John.
Yeah. I have real high hopes for that one.
Between
too.
The two of them, they were woo.
I would guess that one was probably phoned in. I don't think Elton John probably crossed the pond.
I think you're right. I think they both phoned it in.
Yeah, I don't think that was it was big time. I wasn't too they could take this album and make it a one album a Van Halen album.
How about a single? Anyway, if you take this perfect. Album and make it a single.
All right, so we're gonna go with the next one. Tried to Rock and Roll Me with Melissa Etheridge.
Did not rock and roll me.
Neither. I'm not
considering
a big
the note. Last four songs.
It was probably an upper for you, wasn't it?
Definitely better song.
It wasn't a horrible song. I'm just not a Melissa Etheridge fan, but it was okay. I mean, it was okay.
Well, for me, in the string of songs that were coming right before that, and then right. happened after that,
right?
A couple after that, it was a highlight. It was like, oh,
true. It was a bumper. Actually, it's a bumper. It bumps you up again.
And then you go right back to.
It was a smaller turd than the rest of the turds.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I kind of thought it was pretty good. But
All right. Speaking of turds, Stairway to Heaven with Lizzo and Sasha Flute. But does that mean that Lizzo's playing the flute? Is that what it means? Or
probably.
I know Lizzo plays a flute, but anyway, I don't give a shit who's fucking singing Stairway to Heaven. I'm not listening to it. It's a skipper. It's a fucking instant skipper. I don't give a shit.
Are you that way with Led Zeppelin as well?
Yes. Really? I cannot. Did you guys listen to that thing I sent you guys this week, or we sent throughout our thing with Robert Plant singing the Rain song here just last month?
I didn't open that.
Oh my God. He sounds so good. It's ridiculous. I mean, he still has that shit.
So anyway, Stairway to Heaven
sucks balls. I don't fucking like that song.
The only thing that I didn't like about it was I again with the intro, I felt like the beginning was too long, you know, but of course they have Lizzo playing the flute there. So I'm not surprised that it was as long as it was, because there was a lot of extra flute stuff in there that you normally wouldn't hear.
It's fluty. It's real fluty.
Bill,
what do you think?
No, I thought it was horrible.
All right, next.
All right, next. We're going to do some Queen, little We Are the Champions and We Will Rock You.
I don't think I ever made it through that song.
I had a hard time getting through it, too.
I don't think I ever did.
I love Dolly and I love Queen, but I just don't want that shit together. I just don't.
What I will say is I liked We Are the Champions. I liked the way she did it. She could have left We Will Rock You off the end of it, and it would have made it a much better recording.
Well, isn't the original where it's We Will Rock You and then goes into We Are the Champions? Why did she back it up? Why did she change it around? That's fucking stupid.
Because I don't think she sang very much of – she didn't sing the entire We Will Rock You song.
Oh, maybe.
I think they only – if I remember correctly, they only did the We Will Rock You, none of the verses.
God damn, there's a lot of songs in this thing.
I wouldn't know.
I keep scrolling down going, we're almost done. It's like, we're not done yet. All right.
I know.
All right. Yeah, I agree with you. It's just another one of those those two were just terrible. All right. Bygones.
Song number 22.
Bygones with Rob Halford. I love that song. Oh, Alan, you got a down. What the hell? You had a down thumb.
Apparently, I'm the only rocker on the planet that did not like that duet.
Really? I thought it was that was her best shot to be a rocker, to be honest. I mean, you're with Rob Halford. I mean,
okay.
I thought it was a good song, Bill.
Thank God for Rob Halford.
No whispers, no talking. It's a fucking rock out. It's
He's
a rock
a badass.
Song.
That's what I remember.
He's a badass.
And other than that.
But she sings good with them, though. I mean, they did a good job.
I'm going to say it again. Thank God for Rob Halford.
Okay, gotcha.
I didn't say Robin Dolly. Thank God.
All right. My Blue Tears with Simon Le Bon from Duran Duran. Is this a Duran Duran song? Or is this a...
I don't know.
I don't either. It's a terrible song, though.
I had two words for you.
My one-liner was not sure how I feel about this one.
Bill, what's your two words?
Good grief.
Good grief. I was going to say, it was a shit show.
There's a segment in here. I can't figure out who did this record, like sequenced it.
Right.
But there's just like, in my opinion.
Okay.
It feels like there's just like a string of just crap. It's like,
was a bunch of filler, shit ton of filler.
Well, and I guess maybe that's what we should expect considering it, what's going on, but
you could take this album and cut out half of it.
I expected more. I did. They did like 18 songs too many.
So that's what I'm saying. They got 30 songs. They could have cut this to 15 and had a great album.
And had a good album.
Right. But you don't need 30 songs. I don't know if she was just trying to
four.
Just, you know. So yeah, I was
five.
I was thinking, well, Simon Le Bon's got a great voice. They're gonna really hook up, they're gonna do something good. And the fucking song's horrible. I hate it too. I'm like, ugh. All right. Next one's up is What's Up. God damn, if I have to hear that song another time, I'm gonna fucking puke. I hated that song when we played it in the band. I don't like it. It's just like Stairway to Heaven. I don't fucking listen to it. I listened about half of it and turned this fucker off.
I liked it.
I know. It's not a bad song if you like it. I just don't like it. Bill, you like it?
What are we doing? Which one?
What's up?
What's up?
Oh, two.
I see a zero coming. No, a two.
That's a two. Okay. Yeah, I gave it a two.
All right. Here we go. We got You're No Good. It's a Van Halen song.
No, it's not.
I know. It's a Linda Ronstadt song. It was a Van Halen song at one point. With Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris, and Sheryl Crow. What do you guys think about that song? I had some high hopes for that.
I thought it was pretty well done. I liked it.
Yeah. I give it a four. I thought it was really pretty good.
It was decent. After the shit I just heard.
Yes. Anything. And that's probably why it scored so well. Because anything after the last four.
And I did the same as you. I kept the album going. And if I had to skip, I had to skip. But yeah, once you got to this, it was like, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible. Heartbreaker. Pat Benatar and Neil Gerardo. What do you think?
I had a one-word review. Banger.
It is a banger.
Bill. Five. Only five on the record.
Wow. That's your top one. That's your top. Okay. I agree. You know what? I see. What did I put what on? I put the one with Steve Tyler. I think they're both that. They're both in that, yeah, both in that section. But no, I do like that. I think she did a really good job on that. I think that Pat Benatar, her singing together, the parts that Pat can't get those highs in, Dolly can hit those highs, and they were singing together. Yeah, I think it was fan-fucking-tastic. Yeah. All right, Bittersweet with Michael McDonald. God, I was fucking hoping for this song. I was like, please be the one.
Nope.
Alan was sitting there. If you're not watching the video, he had both thumbs down, and I fucking agree. I'm going to throw two more thumbs in there because, God damn, I had so much hope for that because I love Michael McDonald, and I thought, man, those two together are going to sing great. That song is just fucking horrible. I don't know who wrote it.
Three thumbs down.
I don't know who in the hell wrote that song, but it's just fucking horrible. There's nothing good about that. I can't believe Michael McDonald would sit and actually do something that bad.
That's because he keeps forgetting.
And having.
That's a awesome. Well, nobody's in love with him anymore. That's why. That's the problem. Wow. I don't know.
It's just fucking. At one point, he should have went, hey, darling, I think this song really sucks. Yeah, that's bad. Anyway, yeah, what I next? Was, I had really hard. Oh, speaking of really shitty songs, I Dreamed About Elvis. I don't know where in the fuck this came from. I have no words for this song.
I do.
What?
I thought it was a fun song, and the dig at really? Colin Tom was hilarious.
I thought it was really good, actually.
Really?
Running Dell sounds like Elvis. I mean, that's been his shtick for years. So
Who is he? I don't know who he is.
He's a country artist.
Oh, see, I don't know who
he is. He's a country guy that did better as an Elvis impersonator. But the dig at Colonel Tom, you know, when Elvis would cover somebody's song,
right?
Part of the deal was, you know, Elvis is going to do your song, but Elvis gets the rights to your song.
Yeah, he owns a
and
song.
Dolly
right.
said no.
Right. You right. Know? That's what
So they get that dig in there.
Okay.
About, yeah. You know, Colonel Thomas was an idiot. You know, Colonel,
I
was going to sing your song, but Colonel Thomas screwed it up for me.
Yeah. See, I probably not made it through the whole song because it was just so fucking stupid. I had to quit.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to get to the last two. Let It Be with Dolly Parton, Paul McCartney, and Ringo Starr.
I will say this.
What's that?
The guitar solo was good. I thought the guitar solo in the song was great.
Okay.
Other than that, this was one that I had high hopes for, and I'm glad I wasn't holding my breath.
You know? Okay, Bill?
I gave it like a two, only because it's really cool that those three icons were able to be together
right.
and do something. Right. But right. otherwise, yeah, no.
Right.
You know, and for me, there's some songs, you know, being honest with you, there's some songs I don't want to hear anybody else do. Period. I just don't want to hear anybody else do.
There were four of them on this album.
You know, I was going to say that there were more than one that leave them alone. There's just no reason.
Right.
Yeah. And that's one of them. It's like, stop. Right. Yeah.
Let It Be. It's listenable to me. And I am like you. I like the fact that Dolly's singing with Paul McCartney, you know, and Ring. I like that. And I like that song a lot. I think it's it did good with her.
Yeah.
All right. We're at the last fucking song on the album, and I'm sorry I couldn't listen to it. I got through about the first fucking 35 seconds of it and just had to shut it down. I as a personal thing of mine, I fucking hate this song. I don't want to hear it. I don't listen to it. The original, I'm just completely playing in a band for so many years. I just fucking hate this song. So anyway, what a way to stop this album.
Go ahead, Bill.
What do you guys think?
Mine said, let's see. Mine is a zero. slow, plotting, a horrible way to end this record. Please make it stop. That's exactly what it says.
Bill, I couldn't have said it better.
Well, I guess I will be the dissident here.
Oh.
Because I liked this song. I have always liked this song.
Oh, I like the song.
And that's fine. I mean, that's
fine. I thought the song was fairly well done. You know, it's done with members of Lynyrd Skynyrd, and I didn't get a chance to do as much digging and research in it as I wanted to. But it appears that Artemas Pyle played drums on it, you know.
Oh, cool.
Well, didn't they use the original vocals, though, from...
Well, I'm getting there.
Okay.
But Artemas was not the original drummer for Lynyrd Skynyrd, but he was the drummer for Lynyrd Skynyrd in their heyday, you know.
Yeah.
And I was going to bring up, it sounded to me like they got the stems from the original recording and put Ronnie's vocals in there. And not all of the guitars were original, but some of that stuff sounded to me like they had pulled that out too. You know, because my first thought was, did they record this before or after Gary Rossington died? Because when it said there were members of Lynyrd Skynyrd, I had a feeling that Gary Rossington was on this. So the only way he would be on it is if they had done those, you know, tracks.
Yeah.
Solo tracks from the original recordings. But I don't know. But otherwise, I thought that it ended pretty well. If it had ended with Let It Be, I would have been disappointed.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
From what I understand is the family allowed them to use original tracks of Ronnie Van Zant Ronnie Van Zant for this recording. So how they did it, you know, I don't know if they just took his voice off there and then placed it and then they played along with the track. I don't know how it was, but
they've remixed all of these albums, you know, remastered them and everything. So they probably had the tracks.
Isolated track. Right. Yeah. Right. So supposedly that's the way I take it that they've done it. But anyway.
Could be.
All right. Yeah, it is what it is. All right, guys.
I can say that I listened to the record and I will probably never, ever listen to it again.
All right. So here's the question. Does Dolly Parton rock?
Kinda.
It's a yes or no.
No.
No. And she never should have been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I agree with
you. And I have all the respect in the world for her. But
I do too. You know what? I'm glad for her to do this. There are some gems on this thing. Like I said, this 30 fucking song album can be cut down to, like you said, a 10. It could be a Van Halen 8 album. Yeah. And it would be neat that, like I said, you can knock. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what? I give her props for, a woman her age of, you know, getting that award and then going out and, okay, let me prove that I can do rock. You know, for her age, she did a pretty good job.
I don't think she proved anything.
You don't think she proved?
I don't think she proved that she could do rock. I think she proved she can redo some songs that are already done, and the originals I don't think were very good, so
she can do, though, she can generate some money.
She's going to generate some money. That's the truth.
This was her very first number one album.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting. She's going to make a shit ton of money from it, and that's really what matters.
Yeah.
So the thing is, Dolly gives away most of her money too, or gives away a lot of it. And
good for her.
So
for those of you, if you're still listening, that we've ruffled your feathers send an email to contact@agesofrock.com and give us your thoughts and opinions and rants and death threats and all of that good stuff.
We'll take anything. We don't give a shit.
We don't give a shit. And thank you all for listening. This is yes. Year number 8 has closed the books for us.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been doing this for more than 8 years now because we started in October.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
And they anyway, haven't got rid of me yet. And how's that happen?
And y'all know to visit agesofrock.com. That's where our social media and all of our old episodes are. And as Casey Kasem says, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.